Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. One question I'm often asked by parents is whether or not they should put their child in team sports, or team sports, or even individual sports. You know, what is the real benefit?
Right.
And this especially comes from parents of kids with like ADHD and some behavioral issues and things like that, because they're concerned about their child focusing and paying attention and following directions from the coach. And my answer is usually pretty unanimous.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
They should participate. And so today we're going to talk about some of the benefits of having kids in sports and exercising.
I think you never like to say the last word has been given, but I think the evidence is clear. Physical activity is good for kids, not only for their physical development, but also for their cognitive development and their emotional development. The benefits of sport, I don't think the benefits of sports can be, I think we would underestimate, if anything. I think that kids just need them. Boys and girls, doesn't matter what their ability levels are, what their other challenges might be, they all need them.
Now, there are a few caveats that we'll talk about later on in this week as it relates to that, only because it's caveats related to the adults more so than it is to kids.
That's right.
Because the benefits of sport and exercise is there, period. The issue is comes from the adults and what they are doing and expecting, that kind of stuff. And we'll get to that later this week. But today we're going to talk about some of the benefits physically, psychologically, and neurologically.
Right. Yeah, one of the great tragedies of the back to basics educational movement, this emphasis on the acquisition of basic skills and the mastery of skills, mastery learning. One of the great tragedies of that whole movement was the elimination of physical education and the marginalization of physical activity in favor of instructional time and class time. Okay, it was one of the great missteps, I think, in the past 30 or 40 years of educational reform.
Yeah. So we're pulling from three different articles today, and the link to all three are in the show. Links to all three are in the show notes. But one of them talks about four reasons why your kids should play sports. Another one's 10 reasons, and then one really focuses on the brain, which we kind of dig that one, of course, a lot. So, and we're not going to go through all of them in a lot of detail, but the point remains that there are a few things that we should emphasize as it relates to some of the benefits of sports.
Right.
And one of the things that I think is critical, and it's one of the first ones mentioned, and I say that it's critical because it's also something that parents often complain about as it relates to their kids, and that is the issue of commitment.
Making a commitment. So this first article has four advantages, and the first one is commitment.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether it's band or cheerleading or whatever it is, children need to learn the value of making a commitment.
Right.
And you know, if you're going to join the team, then you have to finish the season.
Right.
You know, you make a commitment to a group, you keep that commitment.
Right.
And one of the early places you learn that is on these sports teams.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so when it comes to and sports, and again, sports sort of broadly speaking, because I think that we could, when we think about some of the benefits of sports, band and some of those kinds of things fall into the same category.
Right.
You know, you may not see a band competition on ESPN, but some of the expectations and camaraderie and competition and all of that exists in band just as much as it exists on a football field. So,
exactly.
So commitment is massive. Another thing that that I like, and again, this first article mentions it, is the idea of resilience.
Resilience,
You know, you're going to lose sometimes.
That's right.
depending on your team, you may lose a lot of times.
That's right.
And you really have to be able to cope with that and deal with that and manage that. I've done a lot of sports psychological work with kids, and it's really fascinating when you can see that resilience sort of kick in.
Right.
I had a boy that I worked with not too long ago who was playing Little League Baseball, but he was really good, and he played AAU, and he traveled and all that kind of stuff. And for whatever reason, he enjoys playing rec as well. Mm-hmm. So he'll play rec during the off season from his competitive. And he would get so frustrated that some of the kids on his team weren't as good as he is. And so we sat and we kind of talked about how to cope with that and how to manage that. And he was able to switch his perspective from that of being frustrated with his teammates to that of being a sort of player coach for his teammates, and really started coming in and talking. And you know, this is a 9-year-old kid, started coming in and talking. You should see how well this kid's doing now. You know, he couldn't even hit the ball before, and now he's, you know, he got on base for the first time last night. It was great. And you can see that resilience kick in as soon as you start understanding that team mentality.
That's right. And kids have to learn how to win gracefully, and they have to learn how to lose gracefully. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you lose.
Right.
Sometimes things don't work out the way you expect.
Exactly.
And so you have to be able to win gracefully and lose gracefully.
Right.
And so this idea of resilience. The other thing that I always marvel at, and you see it especially, you can see it in any sport. It's most obvious in professional sports, where a player, for example, a pitcher, gives up a home run.
Right.
Okay. Then he has to pull himself together and go back out and be at the top of his game. It could be a golfer missing a putt.
Right.
It could be a tennis player missing a serve. It doesn't matter what the sport is, but you learn resilience by occasionally failing.
Right.
And I can't emphasize enough, it's important to fail once in a while because that's how you learn how to be resistant, how to pull yourself back together, refocus, and get back in the game.
Absolutely.
And there aren't that many places where you can learn how to do that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Except in sports.
Definitely. Another sort of, another benefit that sort of underlies a lot of the other ones mentioned across a couple of different articles is that it keeps kids busy.
Right.
You know, whether it's getting them off their technology, whether it's getting them out of the house, whether it's giving them something to do after school, whatever the case may be, sports keep them busy and keep them engaged and focused on a task.
Yeah, when we talk about, you know, you don't have to take away the devices, you just have to do other things.
Right.
You know, get your children engaged in other activities, and please, when they go to do these other activities, they don't need their cell phones.
Right.
Okay, leave their cell phones at home or leave them in the car. I've seen the first couple of years that my daughters played tennis at the high school level, girls were allowed to bring their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time there was a break, all the girls were on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they weren't playing a match, they were on their phones.
Right.
And finally, the coaches decided that leave your phones in the car. When you come to play tennis, you're here to play tennis. And that's how you start teaching children the value of separating these two things.
Right.
They can exist. They can survive without their phones for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours.
Right.
And so when your kids are participating, leave the gadgets at home. Make that separation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One more benefit before we talk about the brain a little bit. It's sort of a what at least on the surface can appear to be a bipolar benefit, and that is it helps with competitiveness, but it also helps with friendships.
That's right.
You know, and that's, I think, a very cultural thing as well, because, you know, in our culture here, more on the Western, very competitive.
Right.
You know, we want to succeed. We want to pursue that top rung, and that can, of course, come through and be taught very well through athletics, but also, especially when you're talking about team sports, now you're talking about working in that competitiveness with other people, and so you have to develop these, you know, friendships and relationships.
Yep, and it doesn't matter what the sport is.
Right.
In tennis, they compete. Teammates compete against each other
right.
for placement. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It is still a team. And,
right.
you learn both. You learn how to be competitive. Most of our children don't have to be taught how to be competitive.
Right.
We are by nature competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But they learn how to be a member of a team,
right.
the value of a team
right.
In the process. And again, there just aren't that many places where kids can learn this,
right.
Except on sports team, some kind of team, a band or
right.
some other organization where they have to make a yeah. commitment, they have to participate, and they have to do their best.
Yeah. And now there are some exceptions to this, and we'll hear that on Saturday, where mm-hmm. when we post our interview from the Philippines with Rohit Sagu,
mm-hmm.
who has done some research with snooker.
Or is, that's the way we say it. He's from the UK and he says snooker.
Snooker.
And I didn't know that there was a difference in pronunciation, but he calls it snooker.
He's going to respond to me saying it wrong, but but you know that is, and I love the way that he talked about that as almost a truly individual
right.
sport.
Right.
Because you don't even see the other, you know, we mm-hmm. think of tennis as an individual sport,
right.
Or even golf as an individual mm-hmm. sport. But, you know, when you're playing, your competitor is right there.
Right.
You know, in tennis, your mm-hmm. competitor is right there across the net from you,
right.
and you're going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
With snooker?
Snooker.
Snooker?
Well, unless you're in the United States, then it's snooker.
Snooker.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, snooker, as they say in the UK, is familiar to our billiards pool.
Yeah,
you know,
similar
to. Right.
All little, the red balls.
So. Right, a little bit different, but similar to pool or
pool,
billiards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, your competitor is sitting off to the side.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. you're it's just you and the table.
You and the table.
Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit different. Right. But that leads us very well into the brain benefits.
Right. That's
you know?
Right.
There are a lot of benefits to our brain when it comes to exercise and sport.
Right.
You know, it goes without saying that mm-hmm. exercise in and of itself is good for our brain because
right.
it releases lots of chemicals and hormones and things
mm-hmm.
that just help maximize and optimize our brain's functioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we learned this from our friends, the mice. Again,
right.
we typically conduct this kind of research on other species. And one of them is mice, and we learned that, and I was surprised with this number, that if a mouse runs 3 miles
mm-hmm.
on a treadmill
mm-hmm.
every night, they do better.
Right.
Okay, they do better in all ways. They're better emotionally, they're better cognitively, they learn faster. And what's true in mice is probably true in us because there isn't that much of a difference
right.
between our brains and their brains. And so we learned it first through mice, and then we've also tested this in humans,
right.
and it's true.
Right, and absolutely, it's true that, and we see this in school systems around the world,
right.
where those students who, especially elementary school students,
mm-hmm.
who are able to get out and become physical and get an
mm-hmm.
exercise and recess and
right.
PE and all that kind of stuff, students who have the opportunity to break up their day
mm-hmm.
with some physical activity tend to do better academically.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
they
you
learn
just,
faster and everything.
Right. You know, Stephen Covey has that chapter, Sharpen Your Saw. He
mm-hmm.
calls it Sharpening Your Saw. And that's what we have to allow kids to do. They
right.
have to go out and play. There's a wonderful program. It was started by a physician called Spark.
Mm-hmm.
And he has used this high aerobic exercise,
mm-hmm.
especially running. Goes into a school, and the kids come in before classes start.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in and they do running drills and run distances. And he put it in one school in Chicago, and their reading test scores rose.
Yeah.
Even without any changes in the reading curriculum, the reading test scores
mm-hmm.
changed in that school. So there's a direct benefit
right.
To exercise. So if you don't, I know that there are some parents who either don't like sports or they're not sure that they want their kids to be involved in sports, but this is an additional benefit for
right.
those of you who are maybe a little reluctant. Here's an additional benefit of having your children involved in sports, and especially team sports.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there's an article in the show notes from Parenting
mm-hmm.
Science, and they have some great resources,
right.
some links and stuff in there that you can learn more about all that.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
all right.
Good.
Well, that is it for today.
Okay.
Get out and exercise.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
Right.
Make
right.
your kids exercise.
Make
exercise with them. It'll be great. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and don't need to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.